गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी यशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी यशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरावनचारी जमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी श्री राधा माधव की श्री राधा श्याम सुंदर की जय श्री कृष्ण बलराम की जय श्री गौर निताय की जय शिव प्रभुपाद की जय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Together, Narayanam Namaskritya Narang Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayet Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavat Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki So reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 3, chapter 16. Verse is which one? I can't see it really. 22. I mean, I know which one it was, but I just didn't remember the number of it. 22. Here we are. Dharmasya te bhagavatastri yuga tribhi svai padbhishchara characharam idam dvija devatartam
padbhishchara
नूनां वृतं तद् अगिगति राजस्तमश्च सत्वेन नो वरदया तनुवा निरस्य धर्मस्य ते भगवतस्त्रियुगत्रिभिस्वै पद्भिश्चराचरम् इदं द्विजदेवतार्थम् नूनं वृतं तद् अभिगति राजस्तमश्च सत्वेन नो वरदया तनुवा निरस्य धर्मस्य ते भगवतस्त्रियुगत्रिभिस्वै पद्भिश्चराचरम् इदं द्विजदेवातरार्थम् नूनं वृतं तद् अभिगति राजस्तमश्च सत्वेन नो वरदया तनुवा निरस्य धर्मस्य ते भगवतस्त्रियुगात्रिभिस्वै पद्भिश्चराचरमिदं द्विजदेवतार्थम् नूनं वृतं तद् अभिगच्छति रजस्तमश्च सत्वेन नो वरदया तनुवा निरस्य धर्मस्य ते भगवतस्त्रियुगात्रिभिस्वै पद्भिश्चराचरमिदं द्विजदेवतार्थम् नूनं वृतं तद् अभिगतिरतिस्तमश्च सत्वेन नो वरदया तनुवा निरस्य धर्मस्य ते भगवतस्त्रियुगात्रिभिस्वै ईश्वराचरमिदं द्विजदेवतार्थम् नूनं वृतं तद् अभिगतिरजस्तमश्च सत्वेन नो वरदया तनुवा निरस्य धर्मस्य ते भगवतस्त्रियुगात्रिभिस्वै पद्भिश्चराचरम् इदं द्विजदेवतार्थम् नूनं वृतं तद् अभिगतिरजस्तमश्च सत्वेन नो वरदया तनुवा निरस्य धर्मस्य ते भगवतस्त्रियुगात्रिभिस्वै पद्भिश्चराचरम् इदं द्विजदेवतार्थम् नूनं वृतं तद् अभिगतिरजस्तमश्च सत्वेन Satvena no varadaya tanuvanirasya. Dharmasya, of the personification of all religion. Te, of you. Bhagavataha, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Treyuga, you who are manifest in all three millenniums. Tribhi, by three. Svai, your own. Padbi, feet. Chara acharam, animate and inanimate. Idam, this universe. Dvija, the twice born. Devata, the demigods. Artam, for the sake of. Nunam, however. Britam, protected. Tat, those feet. Abhigati, destroying. Rajaha, the mode of passion. Tama, the mode of ignorance. Cha, and Satvena, of pure goodness. Na, unto us. Varadaya, bestowing all blessings. Tanuva, by your transcendental form. Nirasya, driving away. Translation purport by His Divine Grace Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O Lord, you are the personification of all religion. Therefore, you manifest yourself in three millenniums, and thus you protect this universe, which consists of animate and inanimate beings. By your grace, which is of pure goodness, and is the bestower of all blessings, kindly drive away the elements of Rajas and Tamas for the sake of the demigods and twice born. Could repeat? O Lord, you are the personification of all religion. Therefore, you manifest yourself in three millenniums, and thus you protect this universe, which consists of animate and inanimate beings. By your grace, which is of pure goodness, and is the bestower of all blessings, kindly drive away the elements of Rajas and Tamas, for the sake of the demigods and twice born. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Lord is addressed in this verse as Trayuga, or one who appears in three millenniums, namely Satya, Dwapara, and Treta Yugas. He is not mentioned as appearing in the fourth millennium, or Kali Yuga. It is described in Vedic literature that in Kali Yuga he comes as Chana Avatar, or an incarnation, but he does not appear as a manifest incarnation. In the other yugas, however, the Lord is a manifest incarnation. Therefore, he is addressed as Trayuga, or the Lord who appears in three yugas. Sridhar Swami describes three yuga as follows. Yuga means couple, and three means three. The Lord is manifested as three couples by six opulences, or three couples of opulences. In that way, he can be addressed as Triyuga. The Lord is the personality of religious principles. In three millenniums, religious principles are protected by three kinds of spiritual culture, namely austerity, cleanliness, and mercy. The Lord is called Triyuga in that way also. In the age of Kali, these three requisites to spiritual culture are almost absent, but the Lord is so kind that in spite of Kali Yuga's being devoid of these three spiritual qualities, he comes and protects the people of this age in his covered incarnation as Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is called covered because although he is Krishna himself, he presents himself as a devotee of Krishna, not directly Krishna. The devotees pray to Lord Chaitanya, therefore, to illuminate their stock of passion and ignorance. The most conspicuous assets of this yuga. In the Krishna consciousness movement, one cleanses himself of the modes of passion and ignorance by chanting the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is introduced by Lord Chaitanya. The four Kumaras were cognizant of their situation in the modes of passion and ignorance because, although in Vaikuntha, they wanted to curse devotees of the Lord. Since they were conscious of their own weakness, they prayed to the Lord to remove their still existing passion and ignorance. The three transcendental qualifications, cleanliness, austerity, and mercy, are the qualifications of the twice born and the demigods. Those who are not situated in the quality of goodness cannot accept these three principles of spiritual culture. For the Krishna consciousness movement, therefore, there are three sinful activities which are prohibited, namely illicit sex, intoxication, and eating food other than the prasad offered to Krishna. These three prohibitions are based on the principles of austerity, cleanliness, and mercy. Devotees are merciful because they spare the poor animals, and they are clean because they are free of contamination from unwanted foodstuff and unwanted habits. Austerity is represented by restricted sex life. These principles, indicated by the prayers of the four Kumaras, should be followed by the devotees who are engaged in Krishna consciousness. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jaina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistang Stapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Didati Swapadantikam Vanchakalpaturubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the Lord is the personification of all religion. He appears again and again to enliven the devotees and encourage them or awaken them to their original consciousness. Their relationship with Krishna is covered over by this material world. And how the Lord protects the universe in each and every incarnation. When you earlier we heard of the different incarnations of Lord Vamanadeva and Parasuram, and what to speak of Krishna and Balaram. And now we're hearing also about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And by the Lord's grace, he's of pure goodness. He gives blessings and drives away the element of rajas and tamas for the sake of the demigods and the twice born, because everyone is influenced by the modes of material nature, and they're driven with a desire to enjoy this material world because Krishna has a strong love for each and every devotee in a variety of relationships, servitude, friendship, parental love, conjugal love. And one who's not faithful, or one who's an atheist and doesn't believe, cannot appreciate the glories of the Supreme Lord or his activities or different appearances at different times. And the four Kumaras are asking the Lord, begging to the Lord to free them from passion and ignorance, because they're cursing devotee. And so many lessons are there to be learned, that we, how to respect the Supreme Lord and also his establishment of religious principles, and what to speak of the Vaishnavas and devotees who carry on the message of the Supreme Lord. Because when Krishna appears, especially very mercifully appeared as Krishna and Balaram, and Krishna and Balaram are actually one, they're the Supreme Lord, but the Lord has unlimited pastimes and unlimited qualities. He also expands himself as Srimati Radharani. It's said that he expands himself as the individual living entity and also takes the form of Paramatma. So although we are the Atma, we are the individual soul acting as if independently, but we're also little Krishnas, because we come from Krishna. We're part of Krishna. We're non-different than Krishna. But we don't have that same capacity. You can't say the drop of the ocean is the ocean. It has the qualities of the ocean, but not the magnitude of the Supreme Lord. So you may think, well, God, Krishna really likes to enjoy. Yes, he's the supreme enjoyer. And he manifests various pastimes, wonderful pastimes, which are going on perpetually in the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, Goloka Vrindavan. And so because of the fervent prayers of Lord Brahma and all the sages, they all came together to pray to the Lord, please, you manifest yourself, because we are overridden with demonic influence, with so many so-called kings and rulers who are acting against religious principles and causing so much disturbance to the saintly persons. So it was time. Krishna times everything perfectly. He's an expert juggler of time, place, and circumstance. And he appeared out of his mercy and kindness and at the end of Dwapara Yuga. For what purpose? For the pleasure of the devotees. He could very easily destroy the non-devotees with tsunamis and winds and hurricane earthquakes and what to speak of lightning, you know. Finished. Everyone's toasted. But Lord Krishna, he's very kind, and because somehow we've misused our minute independence, it's described that we actually have an eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world. And somehow, curiosity, wanting to enjoy separately, be the enjoyer, imitate Krishna, we've come to this world, and Krishna gives us a multitude of costumes to try on, in various stages to perform our desires and ambitions to become happy in this world. Because everyone's looking for happiness, how to become joyful and happy. Even maybe I could become a demigod, I can live a long life, I can have many wonderful, you know, enjoyments which will make me happy and satisfied. But there are many stories in Bhagavatam of different personalities who have had abundant opportunity to enjoy the pleasures of this world, which ultimately culminate, thank you, so many C's, culminate in the form of sex desire. It's described that from Brahma, Lord Shiva, every living being within the material world is disturbed by this desire to enjoy. But when it's perverted in material life, it becomes perverted in the form of desire, the sex desire. And although we are individual, thinking ourselves to be Purusha enjoyers, we're all actually Prakriti. We're actually enjoyed by the Supreme Lord. But in our imitation, we come to this world, and Krishna's providing various facilities for everyone. And the beauty... And the good, our good fortune, because the human form of life is very rare, and only in the human form of life can one actually awaken his forgotten God consciousness. Everyone else is covered by anger, lust, greed, tamas, passion, and ignorance. And these modes of nature cover us to the extent that no matter what position we're in, we want to be enjoyers, whether we're a pig or a dog or a worm. Somehow or other, if you try to take that worm out of the stool, no, it wants to go back to its, you know, we become conditioned. Otherwise, and even by performing sinful activities and punishments are coming, even though the punishment is very extreme, you don't die, you suffer. Otherwise, there'd be no one to experience the suffering of our sinful activities. It's described in the third canto, and what to speak of the fifth canto, of the various hellish planets is described in all religions, that those who break the laws of God, there's an atonement and punishment. So we may think, well, God's very kind, he won't punish. But the spirit soul is never burnt or dried or cut or harmed in any way. The spirit soul is eternally existing. Nahanyate hanyamani sharire, that he's ever existing, undying, primeval. He's not slain when the body is slain. So this is the spiritual spark by coming in contact with Krishna's devotees. Krishna mercifully leaves Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and Vyasadeva instructs, or Narada Muni's instructing Vyasadeva and Vyasadeva's disciples, and the whole Guru Parampara is there to assist us and guide us. The body is like a good boat. When you're on the ocean, you need a good boat. Captain is the spiritual master. Favorable winds are the Vedas, the knowledge that we have. Speculate, well, is there God? Is there no God? What is the purpose of life? And simply by our mental contemplation and speculation, we cannot understand God. Even when the glories of the Lord are described in the Vedic literatures, sometimes it becomes intimate and personal. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was hesitant to express the real reasons why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this world, fearing that those who are jealous, atheistic non-believers would be offensive. But he said, well, they're so foolish, they wouldn't understand anyway, so it doesn't make a difference, you know, that the one who's covered over on the bodily concept, thinking that I am this body, and this is my family, my country, and these are my possessions, my bank balance, everything is meant for me and my enjoyment, and I'll give a little charity just to show how great I am. These kind of ideas cover us to the point where we cannot really understand a little bit deeper into the spiritual science of Krishna consciousness. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chana Avatar, hidden, because so many pretenders, we see so many, even Bhaktivinoda Thakur had to chastise when he was the magistrate in Jagannath Puri. There were many imitation gods, even Pondraka, we heard in Krishna book how he was imitating to be Vishnu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not accept, even though his close associates recognized the Lord as the Supreme, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not accept that. He wanted to display the mood of a devotee, because Krishna exhibited very intimate pastimes in his early youth. He gave pleasure to Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, all the cowherd women of Braj, and enacting his childhood pastimes, even as a child, performing very Herculean pastimes of killing Putana, lifting Govardhan Hill, saving all the Brijabasis when the Jamuna was poisoned by the snake Kaliya. And there was also a fire, a big fire that erupted that was going to devour everyone. The Lord's protecting and saving the devotees. In his youth, with his cowherd boyfriends, taking the cows and calves out to pasture. And even at that time, the gopas and gopis were enamored by Krishna. They were feeling so much separation when they were in his company at all times, is expressing their love and their feeling, showing that nothing else really mattered. And then as a youth, Kishore, he was exhibiting playing his transcendental flute, and all the gopis gave up all the Vedic rules and regulations and social customs and the scolding of their fathers and mothers and brothers and everyone. They didn't care about anything. They wanted to be with Krishna. They wanted to love Krishna for his pleasure. It's described that the gopis would make themselves beautiful, not for their pleasure, for the pleasure of Krishna. And Krishna, he was somehow disappearing from their, you know, association, and he took Srimati Radharani in a separate way. And all the gopis were mad out of separation for Krishna, and intensely feeling his separation, they started enacting his various pastimes. It could, because that's all that they were absorbed in the thoughts of the Lord, his beauty, and his, and that they wanted to be with him as much as Srimati Radharani. She's Krishna. She's non-different, but she's Hladini, his pleasure potency. Krishna has a special potencies, unlimited potencies, and one of his potencies, multiple potencies, is Hladini potency in the form of Srimati Radharani. She's most beautiful. And Krishna, he was bewildered as to how is it the gopis, what to speak of the gopis, the Srimati Radharani's love for me, how special it is, how wonderful, it's unimaginable. Because the more I see the gopis are happy by serving me, they become happy because Krishna is happy. And because they become more happy, he becomes even happier. And it's a mutual, it goes on in this way, in a loving relationship. Yayata mang prapajyate tangstataiva bhajamyaham. Krishna is reciprocating his love as we reciprocate with Krishna. And somehow, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had different reasons, because it was the time for the incarnation, and the Lord appeared as Gaurasundar, the golden colored. Different colors were described of the Lord appearing in Satya Yuga in this color, and Treta Yuga this color, Dwapara Yuga, you know, there's white, red, black, and now the yellow color, the golden color of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He appeared, like it says to him in Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, like the rising brilliant sunshine. You know, it's just such brilliance. And he appeared for the purpose of overwhelming everyone with the opportunity of the holy names of the Lord. By chanting Krishna's holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Not only did they chant the holy name, they danced and jumped, and sometimes devotees would dance for days without stopping. It was very, very ecstatic and brilliant when they were experiencing the Rath Yatra in Jagannath Puri. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was participant in all the kirtan parties, and the amount of spiritual energy that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, what is that verse in the 11th canto? Krishna Varnam Tasha Krishnam Sangopangasra Parushudam Jagnai Sankirtan Prayar Yajantihi Sumedasaha. Those who are intelligent, Prabhupada says that if you've taken up Krishna consciousness, you must be intelligent. So even though we might think, well, I'm not so intelligent, yeah. You're intelligent because you're not a fool like the rest of them, wasting this opportunity of the human form of life. And he's, what is his weapons? And previously, the Lord would come with chakra and cut off some heads, you know, and come with the club or the axe and kill the demonic kshatriyas who were pretending to be rajarshis, but they were actually against religious principles. In many ways, the Lord established his supremacy and reestablished religious principles. But in this particular case of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his hidden appearance, he came to inundate all the living beings with the religion for this age. Kali Kalir Dharma Krishna Nam Sankirtan. Golokir Premadan Hari Nam Sankirtan. From the spiritual world, this sound vibration is coming for the purpose of cleaning the heart and awakening our consciousness. We're not a sectarian religion. Krishna consciousness is teaching the technique of awakening their love for God. It's not like the sunshine. It's not a Indian sun, American sun, this sun or that sun. Krishna personally appeared and instructed his immediate disciples, the six Goswamis, to write books on the transcendental science of Krishna consciousness. So I mentioned we're very fortunate because not only do we have the Lord Chaitanya, the six Goswamis, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Prabhupada was empowered and instructed by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, which is the ray of the Supreme Lord. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed to the Lord, please send one of your own men, somebody empowered to help carry on this mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it was designated that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was that immediate associate of the Lord who came to, before Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, the books were not even being published. There was no publications, really. It was all guru, disciple in the villages and whatever, you know, they've read from or heard the stories of Ramayana and Mahabharata. And in many ways, not that they were defective, but people were actually Shrutidhar, capable of retaining and understanding the message of their spiritual master. And they had the qualities to carry it out with determination. Not like nowadays, if people hear, you're not the body, your spirit, soul, your eternal servant of Krishna, and the purpose of life is to serve Krishna, they think, okay, thank you. Go away. back to the normal day-to-day grind of trying to accumulate as much money as we can so we can enjoy life with all the fancy amenities that money will buy us. My family will love me and the nation will respect me. But then when someone becomes old and useless, people don't respect them as much. And if you can't maintain your family and you're not productive and you become a burden, they said in some cannibalistic communities in Africa, they would sport with the old man and, you know, hunt him down and cook him up and eat him. You know, so anyway, this is the nature of material world. We come, stay for some time, we dwindle and we die. Everyone's going to die in this material world. And before we waste this whole human form of life and looking aimlessly for pleasure and happiness in the material world, which there is really no sustaining happiness, because we're eternal and we have an eternal, happy, ecstatic relationship with Krishna on the spiritual realm. And what's in between that is that desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, mode of tamas and rajas, ignorance and passion. And everyone is deluded by the three modes of material nature. So Krishna's telling Arjuna, come above the three modes of material nature, brahma bhuta prasanatma na shochati na kankshati samasaveshu bhuteshu madbhaktin labhate param. Brahma Bhuta, the stage, he has no hankering, no lamentation. He's feeling fully satisfied with this process of Krishna consciousness. And the four Kumaras were begging to be freed of this coverings of the modes of material nature and feeling a little bit unsure if the Lord is happy with them or unhappy, or we did some mistake, please forgive us. And in this way, when one is actually confessing, you know, in Christian religion, they have a confession. You got to go and confess, yes, I was bad, I was sinful, I did this, I did that. And then you're blessed with your confession. But then to go out and do it all over again, then they say it's like the elephant goes in the river, bathes itself very nicely, comes out on the shore, and then throws dust all over its body all over again. So no matter how we try, without guidance of Guru and Krishna, Sadhu, Shastra, and Guru, we're not going to get it right because we're not perfect. We make mistakes. We're illusioned. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted to exhibit or reestablish religious principles in the form of the holy name. He also wanted to taste the love that the gopis, and particularly Srimati Radharani, was experiencing. That love, that intense love that she had for Krishna, that every moment she was feeling this ecstatic love, that everyone's looking for happiness, and Krishna's giving in the form of this Maha Mantra. The gopis complained about Lord Brahma making eyelids, because every time we had to blink our eyes, we couldn't see Krishna. So he said he was not expert in creating this material body, because we want so many eyes. And Rupa Goswami is describing so many tongues and mouths to chant the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it's not that we're going to tear apart the scripture and find faults and think, oh, well, it said only three times, why fourth time, and how does this work and how does that work? Because when the student takes instruction from his master or teacher, when the master says, do it like this, and if the student says, why should I do it like that? Maybe we should do it this way or that way, because we all think we're smarter than everybody else. And this kind of a student or mentality is not conducive to spiritual advancement. Not that we're blindly following. We have to use our intelligence, our logic, and our reason, but apply your logic, intelligence, and reason in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, studying the activities of Lord Chaitanya and his associates and how they established the chanting of the Lord's holy name, reestablishing religious principles, and how they expressed the highest love, and in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. Although sometimes there are many names of dynasties and kings and queens, and you know, I was reading in the ninth canto, it's pretty intense. Sometimes the mind will think, well, what is the benefit of reading all the names of his sons and their sons and their sons? And but somehow, this Srimad Bhagavatam is an incarnation of the Lord. And just by following the order of the spiritual master to read from Janmadyasya Yaton Vayaditaratashtrateshu Vigyasvarat, from the very beginning, how Krishna is the source of everything, and how everyone's bewildered in this material world, by even the demigods are bewildered. So they're actually hankering to take birth in the Krishna consciousness movement. So whatever faults we think are there, that's okay. There's faults in this material world. There's faults in the material society, plenty of them. So in our spiritual society, we may find, oh, this is wrong, that's wrong, the leaders, the followers, so many people make mistakes. Yes. But let's worry about us. You know, we should worry about that we can come and see the deities and pray to Krishna and Balaram, that they give us a strength so we can actually surrender to Prabhupada and Prabhupada's deliverance of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada never took personal credit. He felt himself insignificant, lowly, in his prayers to Krishna upon arrival in Boston. Why you brought me to this terrible place full of tamas, ignorance and passion. I don't think they'll understand anything, but if you empower me with the words to convey the message of Krishna consciousness only by your mercy. And so, like Srila Prabhupada took shelter of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, his Guru Maharaj, and took shelter of Chaitanya Charitamrita and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord, who's Krishna Balaram. They came as Chaitanya Nityananda. And we should actually feel blessed, because we have been blessed. And the next 10,000 years is Lord Chaitanya's golden era. We may not see, because the world is quickly spiraling downward, and so much tamas, ignorance, so much lust, anger and greed and envy. And people are only simply misled by so-called leaders and so-called religionists. And it's like the blind leading the blind into a dark ditch. Imagine you fall into a dark well and nobody's around to save you. But Prabhupada came and he's saving us by giving us Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, Krishna Book. He's tirelessly traveling, preaching, initiating, establishing, re-establishing religious principles, and writing. And I mean, he said, I didn't write these books. Krishna's dictating these books. So Krishna's personally dictating the Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and all these books And we have to have firm faith, and that firm faith will give us the determination and strength to carry on. I'm supposed to end at 8:45. Okay. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Shyama Sundar ki jai. All the Vaishnavas ki jai. So all the intelligent devotees who are here, because you're not out there, so if you have any questions or comments, complaints, thank you.
Hare Hare Bol. We've said that Krishna is the personification of religion. Personification of religion. So would that include all religion? I mean, like Islam and Christianity and so on.
There's only one religion. Don't think there's other religion. There's only one religion, love of God.
I'll explain.
Huh? Did I blow your question?
No. Can you elaborate a little bit more?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure other religions have aspects of how to awaken their love for God, but they failed to communicate and enliven their followers to bring them to that platform. Because I'm sure in Christianity there are many rules and regulations which are not being followed, just like maybe in Mohammedism or, you know, Islam or whatever, Buddhism. It's not even religion, Buddhism. But, you know, even as far as our Vedic culture, if one is not following, then he's not following religious principles, then he's not really following a religion. So it's just a name only. Like one person was asking Prabhupada about, can you tell me something about the Buddhists? He goes, do you follow Buddha? He goes, no. Oh, you just want to ask questions about it. You know, you've not studied it, but you just want to know about it. So we don't criticize or downplay any religion that's glorifying the Lord, that we're servants and we're meant to serve and love God. That's the essence of it. Now, the process of how to achieve that goal, it may be different according to time, place, and circumstance. And when Lord Jesus was speaking about don't kill the animals, don't have relations with your neighbors, and don't do, so a lot of it was the lifestyle at that time, the way people were living. And so Krishna consciousness is the Bhagavad, the Vedic literature is the most, expansive and most authoritative and most concise literature, based on the science of Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, and Guru, that the original Sanskrit is there. The texts are very clear, very brilliant. And now because they're being presented by the devotee of the Lord, they're become understandable. So this is what they're lacking, qualified teachers of the religion to bring them to that higher level. That's just my understanding. You might have something else.
Yeah, very good. But I was thinking also, like in Christianity and Islam, for example, they also expound some religious principles. They might not have all, but without them too, the world would be in chaos, really. I mean, because they exhibit certain disciplines also, which is essential. Let us say there was no Christianity and no Islam. What the world would be like?
Like this, the way the world is. Because no one's really following religious principles. And it's unfortunate that that the world is basically atheistic. And they, in the name of religion, they feel they can do anything. It's like, oh yes, the Lord died for my sins, so I can just, on the doormat, wipe my sins on the Lord, and I'm okay. But we have to take responsibility, just like the four Kumaras. They were feeling blessed because they got the darshan of the Supreme Lord, the Lotus Feet. That's what they came for. They came to get that darshan of the Lord, and they were being obstructed by Jai and Vijay, so they became angry. But upon becoming angry, because sometimes we become angry, but a devotee recognizes his anger, and he contemplates, how can I adjust my mentality? How can I adjust myself so that I don't behave like an animal or someone who's, you know, doesn't understand religious principles. Because as we're hearing of the qualities of a Vaishnava, what are, you know, truthfulness, cleanliness, austerity, you know, compassion, love, tolerance, so many qualities are being described in all scriptures. So if one is not following, slaughtering the animals, slaughtering the baby in the womb, and could care less about, religious principles, then they're not really following their so-called religion. But we're not here to criticize them. I'm sure there are many good people who do want to follow, or good Christians, or good Muslims, and whatever other religions. I'm sure there's many religions out there. And even in the Vedic culture, there are those who don't follow. But we have an opportunity, by the guidance of Guru, is that Yasya Deve Parag Guru Tasyaite Katitaharata Prakashante Mahatmana. Is it one who has faith in Guru and Krishna, then all the purport of the Vedas are revealed to one in the heart. So we need to practice some austerity, follow rules and regulations, apply the medicine of chanting Krishna's holy name, and hear the scripture daily, more than, you know, and eagerly hear it, and then recognize our shortcomings, and like the Kumaras, pray to the Lord, please free my heart from lust, anger, tamas, and rajas. Like that. Ma, you have anything? Yes.
Prabhu, you were so nicely describing the pastimes of the Lord. It kind of reminded me of the chapter Wonderful Krishna in the Krishna book. And I was thinking that so many times, not only the 10th canto, we also hear in the 3rd canto, Uddhava is also, when he's remembering, he's describing the different pastimes. I guess I wanted to hear, is it just by hearing, I guess it's a doubt, you know, it's just by hearing continuously that we can actually develop some attraction to those pastimes? Or what is the purpose, or why is there so many times described in the Bhagavatam by Shukadeva Goswami?
Very, very good question. That's the main purpose that Krishna appears, and he brings Vrindavan Dham, and he brings all his associates to show the loving relationships that do take place in the spiritual realm. You know, if you have no idea of, you know, say, California, what goes on in California. So when you see pictures and there's description and you see, you know, rivers and lakes and nice forests or something, then, oh, that's, or Himalayas. Like I was going through some of my pictures because I've been up in the Himalayas many times on motorcycle adventures. And I saw the river and the snow peaks and you got the mountains and you can just envision, you know, you envision that. It attracts you, naturally does attract you. So the more we hear of Krishna's wonderful pastimes and the love that Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj had and still have, and the gopis and gopas, they never considered Krishna God. Oh, who are you? You're not a big man. You and I are equal, you know. Or the gopis chastise Krishna, you rascal, why are you behaving this way? Krishna likes that. So when we hear this and see that, it becomes attractive to us, and we think, oh, I want to be there too, you know? Because if you had no vision or no understanding of it, or didn't hear about the intimacy and the real love that's exhibited between Krishna and his loving devotees, then we might think, oh, these are just fairy tales. But they're reality for one who can absorb his mind in that, and then perform the duties as given to us by Prabhupada so that we can come to that level of actually seeing Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena, that actually seeing Krishna with transcendental vision without these material eyes. And it's described that within this lifetime we can experience the symptoms of loving exchanges with Krishna. So yeah, I think continuing hearing and chanting is a way of, it's not just some stories. Stories are attractive. Yeah, it's okay. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you. So when the jiva left Vaikuntha, just kidding. I have a question
why,
for you.
Why are you kidding?
I just have a personal question for you.
Okay.
Because, you know, you've been like, you know, managing Krishna Balaram Mandir for decades. And, you know, before that, you were in the airport distributing books. And I was just curious, how did you get into Hare Krishna? How did you join this thing?
Well, I came from Europe originally in 61 with my mother and my brother. And I liked music. I was interested in transcendental meditation. I did that for a few years with Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. You know, plus being in the music industry, and you see the Beatles, George Harrison, and yoga meditation is going to, you know, expand your consciousness and make you more aware or something like that. Whatever it was, I even read Maharishi's 6 chapters of Bhagavad Gita. And I'd see the devotees in kirtan in the streets of in Buffalo, New York, and the different fairs and parks. And my barber, who I had hair back then, he was a bhakta, and we started speaking about Bhagavad Gita. And he said, oh, you should read Bhagavad Gita as it is. It has 18 chapters. And then he showed me Back to Godhead magazine. I saw the backside of Back to Godhead magazine with Vishnu Jan Swami and all the colorful devotees and saris and plates of prasadam and a big bus and come chant, dance, and feast and be happy. So I was already doing some meditation based upon the, you know, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi's, you have to pay your $35 fee to get the mantra. And then it made so much more sense, Om Ajnana Tamaranda Syagyananjana Shalakaya, that I was born in ignorance, but the spiritual master can open the eyes. And by association with devotees, I started going to temple in Buffalo and Niagara Falls, and also in Toronto. But then I couldn't get away from my circle of devotees, my old, you know, friends and relatives. So I went down to Miami in early 76. To continue on. Also, we were there in Washington, D.C. with Prabhupada when he came for the visit for 3 days in Potomac, Maryland. And I was in Miami, and Narahari and Raghava were, and he's not here right now, but he said, you know, you'd be good in Sankirtan. I said, what's that? Book distribution. So next thing, you know, I was in the garden digging up, making all the flowers. We used to have flowers and send various religious paraphernalia to all the temples in the form of mango leaves and marigolds and all those things. Madan Mohan, also, he was our temple commander. And then they put me on Sankirtan, and very quickly we were into the fold with Mother Sukada and Mother Nartaka. And then we did, we got big book distribution going in Miami, and went many, many years in the airport there. We did a lot of books. So like that. Yeah. Yes, but he's smarter than the rest of them. Prabhupada's brilliant, you know. Ayin Guruve Namaha. They took from the Gayatri Mantra some of the, or Kling. Huh, yeah. Kling. Yeah, three times a day. My mother used to find me crazy because I became vegetarian at 16, and she goes, you know, why? What is this mantra meditation, hocus pocus? What is all this hocus pocus? You know, so people they think that the devotees are just simply misguided and confused. But it says, who's actually crazy? Prabhupada put that book out. Who's actually crazy? You know, but they're crazy because they're trying to make happiness in a temporary place, whereas we want to awaken our eternal life, our Vaikuntha life, our Goloka Vrindavan life. Okay. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki.